Sukha will come down soon after I finish speaking today. And so that's the last you'll see of it. Get your wine and get your water. Pour. Today is the last day of the, those who've been with me, of the what? In gathering. You all have been blessed by the Creator. Begin to understand many things from Him. More than perhaps your neighbor. More than perhaps your family. More than perhaps even me. Now, what did you see? Now, not those who have seen it before, those who have seen it for the first time. What did you see poured upon the rocks? You got it, okay? In the what came to be done during the time of the Messiah, water and blood, or water and red wine, was poured upon rocks. 12. And that meant what? They have the life of the Messiah coming down upon them to purify them and to wash them. And the water represents the Spirit of the living God. Because He said, I will pour My Spirit down, and it's like water. It's not like oil, it's water. So what we see today, how many of you have enjoyed your time here? Okay? And some of you may have enjoyed it a little bit more than others. Well, what are we going to be doing tonight? We are on the ingathering. Now, where are we going to go? He has called us to go someplace. Where are we going to go? To the wedding. That's tomorrow. That's the 8th day. So the ingathering is happening. The finish of the ingathering is finishing as of today. Now, in my troubled spirit, I want to read something to you. You all know it. Not many wise, not many noble, the base ones are called. Wow. Have you ever looked at your life and you as a person who is a base person? That's who God brings in. And we all, during this particular period of time, the Feast of Tabernacles, will be try to do the very best we could understand about everything that's there, knowing that God wants us there, but where does He want us to be? In His world, where His Son is. We all want to be there as well. Now, I want you to look back. This is the 7th day, people. Those have been from the beginning. I want you, do not answer out loud. I want you to look back upon your what you have participated in this feast. From day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and even more so now, day 7. Have you found yourself falling short? Have you looked back and said, oh, my, what have I done? But you hope no one sees the foolishness and the odyssey, the parts that was, I don't want to know, I don't want anybody to see what I do. I want it concealed and protected. But at the same time, what happens? It is seen. Everything is seen. Now, this is not a day that we judge one another. It's a day we look at ourselves. We look at ourselves, we have to say, what is it, O Eternal Father? Why are we here for? We're bringing in, we're part of the ingathering. We're supposed to learn how He gathered us into this piece of tabernacles. And we are to be doing something in the deep future to bring in whom? Who are we supposed to bring in? the base people, the ones that are not up to par, the ones who don't meet the holiness of holiness. Because that's not who he's calling. He's calling the impure. Why? So he can make them pure. He's calling the unholy. Why? To make them holy. And the little ceremony we just got through seeing here, the only way you and I and anyone on the face of this earth, past, present, or future, can reach that point is when they recognize the life of one who is righteous poured upon the rocks and the Spirit of the living God coming down through the water, giving us life that we may be able to understand God. I want to be there. I think everyone in this standing here, anyone present here, wants to be there. So we look back and we say, oh, what happened? How was my conduct these last 6 days? And how is my conduct today? Who is going to look into your conduct? The fellow man? Or to the one who's calling you to the wedding supper? The one who's calling the wedding supper says, oh, we'll find out what he says here in a minute. I don't want to keep you out here too long. I know it's awful cold, but please bear with me. I've been troubled for 3 days trying to figure out what I'm going to speak on. I had this well organized, and it wasn't going to work. I myself fall short this feast. I myself didn't live up to the holiness of the conduct that I probably should have done. And when I recognized it, I ceased. When I recognized it, I ceased. You know why? I can't go there. I want to go there. We have walked in this world. We walked this life. We're trying to walk in the wisdom and the words of the Messiah. We're trying to look at what it says in the Torah. We're trying to understand what the prophets are saying. We do our very best to break down words and understand those words and put them into our world and our life. We ask and beg God, literally beg God, to grant us insight. And sometimes He gives it and sometimes He doesn't. We all know that. But today is a very, very special day. And as we have this seventh day as the last of the ingathering, I just want you to pay attention that you are part of that ingathering. Have you ever thought yourself that you are being gathered in? You don't gather people. You've been gathered by the blood of the Messiah and the Spirit of the living God, our Father, who is in heaven. He's granted us life. And where we're going to live for eternity, where we won't go there, we'll go there a little bit tomorrow. But you all know, when God comes down, our Father comes down and tabernacles with us. Isn't that almost unbelievable? Yeah, it is. We want Him here. I want Him here. But more than that, He wants me there so He can come. So we can be part of life. We do not know. God has not granted any of us the complete insight to see many things. We are going to go tonight to a place for which is called what? The wedding supper. We're participating in it. We're kind of acting it out, hoping that we may be able to understand God and connect ourselves more than just spiritually, but in the future, literally, with the Son of God. It's a parable. And before I go there, you can go to Matthew, the 21st chapter. It's important if you have your Bible, open it up and read it. So my message is not going to be long today. Because I know you're cold. And it may rain, and you may get wet. So will I. Jesus in verse 33 was talking about the parable of the landowner. Here another parable, verse 33. 21, Matthew 21. I said 21. I think I said 21. Well, I didn't say 21. I'm saying 21. Okay, verse 33. 33? You got 33. Okay. Here another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug in a wine press in it, and to build a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when the vintage time came and drew near, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, it's the vintage year, the time when the grapes bring forth the wine. The vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive the fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants and beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent, second time now. He sent them again, more than the first. And they did likewise unto them. Then, last of all, he sent his own son to them, saying, surely they will respect my son. And of course we know it took place, don't we? They killed him too. Drop down to verse 42. Because they realized who they were talking to. And he said, did you ever read the scriptures? Pretty powerful statement, isn't it? All right. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. And it was marvelous. And is it marvelous in our eyes? They made a question mark. Okay. Therefore, he says, verse 43, I say unto you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whosoever falls upon the stone will be broken, but whomsoever it falls, it will grind them into powder. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Some will not be there. First chapter 22, very important parable. This is what I've been thinking about on this day. Because now the king does something. That means basically it's a parallel of the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding and were not willing to come. Again, he sent out servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, the fat cattle, and killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it. Excuse me here. Let's see. But they made light of it. And went their way, one to his own farm, another to his own business. And the rest seized the servants, treated them despicably or horribly, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was merciful, furious. And he sent out his army to destroy those murmurings and built and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but who? Well, those who were to invited, they're not worthy. Wow. They were at one time, but not now. Therefore, go in the highways And the many as you find, invite to the wedding. Listen carefully. So the servants went out into the highways and to gather together all whom they found, both bad and good. Wow. Where do you stand? Who are you? Do you know that God, the creator of heaven and earth, has invited both bad and good? When we look at ourselves and we fall short, or we may judge someone saying, you're the bad person, I'm the good person, guess what? You become the bad person, that person becomes the good person because they haven't judged you. We all must correct our conduct. You must correct what you do. That's what we're here for 7 days, to learn something about ourselves that God wants to show us and teach us, that we may be able to go someplace. Not just the Feast of Tabernacles, my people. But to the marriage. I want to be there. That's where we're gathering to. That's the whole in-gathering is all about. Starts from when? Feast of Trumpets. And ends today. Once that's done, bam, you're there. Now let's go on farther. Both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. Oh my. Now, what does that tell you? Your conduct must be acceptable. How do you do that? What did I do in the rocks? The blood and the water that occurs on this day. We're focusing on the Messiah, not focusing on ourselves. Because of the blood and the water, or that wine and the water, we see it, we acknowledge it, we say, oh my Father, I look around the people, the base ones you have called, and I'm amongst the base. And you have granted me an incredible blessing. Those who were known for years and lived their lives and were going that way and walking your way, they said, we're not going to go. Wow. He came to us. If you think you are one of the main tribes of the house of Israel, behold, you're here. You were in the highways. You're out in the byways. You weren't living how God wanted you to live because you didn't know it. You may say, oh, I always know it. No, you didn't. So God opens up your eyes and opens up my eyes, and we keep on asking God to increase, 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 because we want Him. We want to know Him. We want to understand Him. You want to walk in His ways. And he said unto the friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was what? Couldn't even open his mouth and talk. Couldn't justify his actions. Couldn't come through and say, oh, please forgive me. Too late. Too late. So when we participate, this little thing we're going to be doing this evening, I want you, if you can, go privately someplace. Ask God to help you put on the holy garment, the wedding outfit that you may be. Because this is symbolism, right? But what the story tells us physically tells us something about the creator of heaven and earth. He wanted certain people there, and they decided not to go. So he has called you. He has called me. And he warned us. Make sure you know the blood of my Son and my Spirit coming in you. You have to have those in order to be there. And the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. Why don't you close your Bibles? Don't get them too wet now. So, with that being said, I would like for some of you to just say, what have you learned that God wants you to understand at this particular point in time? Because we're going to be going someplace tonight, a very special place tonight, and it's not just, oh, we get something to eat. It's a presentation that we kind of act out to understand that it is the wedding of the Messiah himself. What have you learned that you did not know, or maybe remembered now? that you once knew.
That a spiral, an emotional spiral, is always around yourself. And when you tend to spiral, it's because it's around you. You have to just step out of the spiral, and the spiral stops.
This is open. We're here. We've learned something. Tell us. Maybe you can tell somebody. I want good things to hear.
There's lots of things to do when you're serving the Messiah.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of work. Now, when you did serve the Messiah, were you upset because someone else didn't? That's not good. You should be thankful that God had granted you to serve His people. That's what the Levites did. We had become what? Like kings and priests. You know, priests worked hard. They didn't get as much rest as you think they might have gotten. They worked hard. What is it you hope? Is everybody kind of not thinking? Or they just say, I'm too cold to talk? Maybe you're too cold to talk. That's okay. There are things that I tell you that I learned this week. When my son gave the message about the lulav, because I kept asking him for several times, I says, I need to know, understand what you see about the myrtle. And you know, he now knows. And then he let me know. And he let us all know. Now, see, in Judaism, they look at the willow as the bad person. Okay. Who does God say? And they brought in whom? The bad and the good. So even if you look at it from the Jewish point of view, they're there.
The hard things of being out here are part of the best part of it. They're the good things. Yeah.
We've shared one thing in common, most of us. Cold, right? We shared that. You know what it's like. It's freezing cold. And what do? We try to get warm. And some of us figured it out. Okay, let's take a bunch of bean bags and get them hot and put them in the microwave and get them warm, you know. And then some of you probably thought, well, you know, if I just drink enough wine, it'll get warm. No, it doesn't. It just knocks you out. You're still cold. When you overindulged in it, guess what? You're really cold. You're cold even to hear. Sit by the fire. And when you, who sat around the fire, what was your conduct like? I'm not correcting it. Just, you ask inside of yourself, what was my conduct like? Did you fall short? Or did you rise up to the occasion? Wow. I mean, we're kind of all in the same boat. See, we're all being called. We don't have in ourselves the ability to overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But the Messiah did. And we beg, we plead, we beseech God that we may be able to know and understand that we can walk in holiness. Book of Leviticus, he says, after you've done all the things about the clean and unclean meat and many more things, he says, be you holy because I am holy. And you're saying, okay, how do I do that? By the blood? Yes. Right over here.
I see, you know, the lust of the flesh and all that. You have a choice. You know, you can either choose life or blessings, or you can choose death or cursings. It's a choice.
Of course it is. Yes, yes. Every step of your day of your life. This is not a one-time shot deal. We have one down here.
It's just continue for me to, which is struggle, to die to myself, and that let myself to decrease my flesh and for His Spirit to increase in me. And it's just today in the morning, God gave me the verse saying, the goal of his command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So the love will come if we'll have that. And it's really a struggle and it's journey.
It is hard. And guess what? Are you struggling here being cold? Yeah, we're struggling here being cold, but not bad.
As in Psalm said, who will ascend to your hill? Those who have the clean hands and pure heart.
Yeah.
So to striving to this, and I know it's struggle, but at the same time, God is saying in the struggle, I'm increasing that struggle. When you give up, when you stop to do that, that's where you actually give up.
Yeah. Kathy, down here.
I have really enjoyed understanding a lot more fully that I am a part of the in-gathering. The other thing that wasn't so pleasant is I realized once again that there's things that I really think I know that I don't. And I have spoken up and said things that I really believed I knew. And I now know there's a lot more for me to learn.
That's what these whole 7 days is all about. The word of the Lord.
This renews my hope, and that all is not lost, and I'll have another year to learn and grow, hopefully. And it's just a whole new door opened up to learn of how we're walking.
All right, it's getting cold, and we got somebody else going to say something?
I think I've learned how to be really thankful more than ever before. And the thankfulness.
Right up there.
Along with that, I just feel like the more you let go of things that you have and possess, the more time you have to really dwell in God's love and spirit.
Yeah, remove the things you have. They're not of any value, right? Yeah. Okay, now what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. And what's the second one? Was likened unto the first? How do you love your neighbor as yourself? It must be in the same matter and practice as you do to the eternal creator of heaven and earth. That's the ultimate thing. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. How do you love yourself? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your being. You make sure you take care of yourself, don't you? Well, so those two commandments are so closely knitted together, you can't separate them. You understand what I'm saying? The loving your neighbor is far higher than just saying, well, yeah, I love you. Goodbye. But you don't dare say it to the Creator, do you? You say, I love you, Lord. Goodbye. Boy, you're terrified of that one, aren't you? So when we think of it, we're going to go over there. We're going to go over there tonight. We're going to have something to eat. Picturing of something that we are being gathered into. May we learn. We will always lack short. We will always fall short. Until this mortal ceases to be mortal and becomes immortal. When the dead no longer remain dead, but remain living. That's where we're going to go, people. So as this day, the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it is an entryway. It's the very last time. And people will be evaluated on the seventh day. I may be able to cover that tomorrow, but I don't know. But it's something that we need to see where some who will be able to be written in the book of life. This day is that time. And there's no time afterwards. I did not open up in prayer. Do you know why? I wanted to show and tell. That speaks louder in my mind My wife was surprised. I'm going to do that first. Because we don't normally do. We do it last. I says, no, I can't do that. I've got to do it first. That tells us more than anything that I could come out of my mouth. Show and tell. Are we going to be grateful and even more thankful? Yes, I hope so. And be more humble as we walk into and become part of the new beginning, the eighth day.